Mind control for the masses. No implant needed. On January 2nd, in Wired by Ariel Pardes. A wave of startups want to make brain-computer interfaces accessible without needing surgery. Just strap on the device and think. When Sid Coinder showed up at Slush, the annual startup showcase in Helsinki, wearing an ascot cap and a device he claimed would usher in a new era of technological mind control, no one thought he was crazy. No, he was merely joining the long line of entrepreneurs, see Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, who believe that we will one day manage our machines with our thoughts. The quest to meld mind and machine dates back to at least the 1970s, when scientists began, in earnest, to drill into people's skulls and implant the first brain-computer interfaces, electrodes that translate brain cell activity into data. Today, BCIS can regulate tremors from Parkinson's disease and restore some basic movement in people with paralysis, but they are still surgically implanted and still quite experimental. Even so, the likes of Musk already envision a future where we'll all have chips in our brains, and they'll replace our need for keyboards, mouses, touchscreens, joysticks, steering wheels, and more. Of course, that won't happen anytime soon. The mysteries of the mind remain vast, and implanting hardware in healthy brains, well, forget about that, at least until the FDA deems it safe, light years away. In the meantime, a wave of companies is betting on bringing mind control light to the masses with a neural interface that requires no surgery at all. That's where Coinder comes in. His startup, NextMind, makes a non-invasive neural interface that sits on the back of one's head and translates brainwaves into data that can be used to control compatible software. Coinder's vision begins with simple tasks, sending text messages with a thought, calling up a specific photo in your camera roll while passing thoughts, and then somewhere close to science fiction, controlling every device in our world like the sorcerer in Fantasia. This is real, he said on stage at Slush, and the possibilities are endless. Going the non-surgical route comes with some trade-offs, namely all that skin and bone between your soggy brain and any device that's trying to read the neural signals it emits. On the other hand, it's cheaper, it's safer, and it's much easier to iterate or push software updates when you don't need to open someone's head. And for all the promise of BCIS, people first need to see that this stuff can be useful at all. For that, devices like NextMind's do the trick. I had a chance to try out the NextMind device during a demo in December, a few weeks after Coinder gave his Slush talk. He had taken a flight from Paris to San Francisco and carried the device casually in his bag. It weighs 60 grams, about as much as a kiwi fruit, and bears a passing resemblance to a flattened TIE fighter. The NextMind device is basically a dressed-up electrocephalogram, or EEG, which is used to record electrical activity in the brain. It's not so different from the tools Coinder used as a professor of neuroscience before he ran NextMind. His lab in Paris specialized in studies of consciousness. In a hospital setting, EEGs often require the use of gel and some skin preparation, but recently researchers have developed functional dry electrodes that only require contact with the skull. The NextMind device uses these along with a proprietary material that Coinder says is very sensitive to electrical signals. He wouldn't tell me what exactly the material is. Coiter placed the device on my head. It comes with little comb-like teeth that brush through hair to hold the device in place right on the back of the skull. Coiter, who is bald, wears it clipped to the back of his hat. There, the device's electrodes are well positioned to record activity from the visual cortex, a small area in the rear of the brain. Then it translates the signals to digital data, processes them on the computer, uses a machine learning algorithm to decipher them, and translates those signals into commands. On a laptop, Coiter walked me through a calibration exercise to create my neural profile. In essence, how my visual cortex lit up in response to my eyes focusing on specific things. I followed a series of flashing triangles around the screen. You only have to do this once, and only for a couple of minutes. The NextMind device is designed to work on anyone, but it works faster when someone has had practice. Coiter says it's about a neurofeedback loop, AH. When I focus on that, then that happens on the screen. Neural profile generated, I was ready to play some games. NextMind will announce its developer kit at CES in January in an effort to court developers. The company has designed a few demos to show off what its device can do. I tried one that's a riff on Nintendo's Duck Hunt, which Coiter played as a kid. As ducks danced across the screen, Coiter leaned over. "Try to shoot them," he whispered, "with your brain." I focused my gaze on the ducks, and in less than a second, they exploded. This little magic trick was repeated through a series of demos. I changed the channel on a mock TV by glancing at one corner of the screen. I cracked a digital vault by concentrating on the right numbers on a pin code. I changed the colors on a set of smart light bulbs that Coiter had set up for me. It's hard to say why you need to do these things with your mind, but when you do, you really feel like a Jedi. NextMind isn't the only company trying to develop, for the masses, non-invasive BCIS. Another startup, Control-Labs, released a developer kit last year for a similar non-invasive neural interface. It also uses dry electrodes, but this device is an armband and captures signals from nerves. Facebook acquired the company for close to $1 billion in September. A few months earlier, I had a chance to try out Control Labs' device myself. The demo was designed to show off the company's vision. The question at Control Labs is not, how do we make our devices more capable, as co-founder Thomas Reardon told an audience at Slush in 2018. It's how do we ourselves become more capable. I strapped the device to my arm and played some games. One involved a dinosaur jumping over a series of obstacles. I thought, jump, and with just a twitch of my arm, the dinosaur jumped. At one point, Patrick Kafosh, then Control Labs CTO, now Facebook Reality Labs research manager, entered the credentials to unlock his laptop by simply staring at it. Neural authentication, he called it. That device, like most of the work in BCIS, makes use of the motor cortex, the part of the brain that manages movement. Reardon's breakthrough was in singling out the neurons in your spinal cord, which send electrical signals to your arm and hands, rather than going to the brain region itself. Most of the clinical work around BCI also involves the motor cortex, in part because so much of the research has focused on movement disorders, Parkinson's, paralysis, and so on. But Coiter thinks the visual cortex offers a richer set of neural signals for people trying to control their personal devices. When I asked him why so much of the work was being done in the motor cortex, He paused and then said, "I think that's because they're making a mistake." Because the NextMind device utilizes signals associated with sight, the technology can feel a little like gussied up eye tracking. So what if you can change the channel with your eyes? People have been doing that for years. After the demo, Kreuter claimed his BCI could work even if I closed my eyes. Right now, you control things with your gaze. Soon, Kreuter believes, the device will be able to tap into our imagination, turning visual thoughts into actions. The problem with some of these BCI devices, though, is not whether they can become fast enough to enhance gameplay or control smart home devices. It's whether anyone cares to. Interaxon, a Canadian startup, used to make a head-worn device that could control lights with the power of thought, but eventually gave it up. Frankly, you could just turn the thing with your hand much more readily, company's co-founder Ariel Garten told Scientific American. Well, arguably, there would be accessibility use cases for this technology. Interaxon pivoted to make Muse, a meditation headband. As he gins up interest in his developer kit, Kreuter is pitching the idea that NextMind's device and other non-invasive neural interfaces of its ilk will be like the touchscreen or the computer mouse, the thing that upends the way we interact with our personal technology. At this early stage, though, BCI is more like the virtual reality headset than the next great interface. Mind-blowing in their demos, but easy to put back in the box.